The very idea of Good Friday always makes me pause to think and ponder. The problem is that both of Jesus' power and wisdom led him to the cross, a brutal reaction against everything he had done before. Those who seen his power wondered why he seemed so powerless at a time of greatness need. And those who saw his intellectual capacity by teaching at the synagogue wondered how someone so smart could miscalculate so badly. This is the scandal of the cross. The cross was a stumbling block to the Jews and foolishness to the Gentiles because it appeared so contrary to the worldly ways of thinking. A dead man hang on the cross does not seem like power at all. In fact, it seems to be utter weakness. An innocent man allowing himself to be condemned for crimes he did not commit does not like wisdom. It seemed to be foolishness. How could this man dying on a cross, something that so foolish and weak, accomplished the salvation of the whole world? The answer is love. Out of love, Jesus experienced the extreme violence. He carried within himself the terrible violence of the world. He became an innocent victim of the world. He received into himself all injustice, all the abuses of humanity. He received every possible woundedness, every possible suffering that you could ever imagine. All of this he accepted because Jesus loves you and me. He received violence, but he did not cause violence. He received hatred, but he did not cause hatred. He accepts this because he wants you and me to have eternal life in him. He accepted the bitter cup of suffering so that we would have the sweet cup of eternal life. His love is immeasurable, beyond our capacity to understand. His love brings to life. His love overflows upon us. His love transforms us into his body. Come our hatred, but out of his body comes forgiveness. Into his body comes our woundedness, but out of his body comes healing. Into his body comes our suffering, but out of his body come the real joy. This is the pattern of love, the pattern of life. Yes, Jesus, the mad lover, can do anything if you give him permission to reign in your wounded heart. Christ, the foolish lover, gives himself away for his beloved, for you and for me. Within the logic of love, this is perfect wisdom. My friend, give Jesus permission to do something in your life. As on Good Friday we come and kiss the Holy Cross, we should also let him to kiss our woundedness. Give him permission to touch the darkest part of our life. He always invites us to follow his path of salvation. But his path is a path to the cross. There is no Easter Sunday without Good Friday. There is no resurrection without the cross. The path of our journey has to go through the cross of our life. The stumbling blocks and foolishness turn into power and wisdom. The cross changes everything. If nothing is changing, maybe we haven't been to the cross. Jesus honors our decision. This is the time to let him reign in our life. This is our time to let him renew our faith. Our journey is journey towards the cross. Christ himself lead us down from the high mountains and walk with us to the Calvary, where he teaches us to love him. Calvary is the witness to God's solidarity to our human experience. I'd like to share with you a story of a friend whose suffering was transformed by coming alongside Christ in his suffering. It was in the middle of July 1997. I became a volunteer of human rights activist in Indonesia. One of my friends, a priest, was invited to be the facilitator in a training session for human rights activists. There were more than 10 participants. During the first 3 days, the interaction process was very difficult because that was too much feeling of anger, resentment, woundedness, which blocked the process. So that priest friend of mine asked me if I could lead a prayer service and sharing where the participant could express their traumatic feelings. In the evening, we gathered in the small chapel. All of us sat on the floor in a circle. In the middle, we lit a small Easter candle. We read the beautiful text of Isaiah 6:35, which announced the coming of the Lord to save his people. And also we read Isaiah 65 about the new heavens and the new earth. Then I asked the participant to say. Several of them talk, and we listened. Then a woman, a very thin woman from little village, stood up, walked to the middle, sat beside the candle and told us a long story of her suffering. Her name was Maria. We called her Mia. When she was about 6 years old, her parents were arrested by the Indonesian soldiers. Since then, she never saw them again. Some eyewitnesses said that they were shot in the forest. Mia was left behind with her elder brother, who had joined the Fretilin freedom fighters struggling for the independence of East Timor. Some years later, her brother was captured by the Indonesian soldiers. They tortured him, cut off his genital, and let him slowly die a horrible death. Mia wept bitterly over the death of his brother. But she swore to herself to continue the struggle. When Mia was in senior high school, the military arrested her of being a collaborator of Fretilin, arrested her while she was giving food to a young man who came to the village. They accused her of being a collaborator of Fretilin. They tortured her until she was half conscious and raped her. At this point, Mia could not continue her story. Tears filled our eyes. There was a long silence in the chapel. I do not know how long, but it seems like ages. Then Mia gathered her strength. She looked at me, tapped on my shoulder, and said in a weak voice, "Brother, where is that salvation promised by the Lord?" Again, there was silence. I could not answer her question. Tears flowed. Slowly I raised my eyes and I saw a wooden cross on the wall. I saw it and I understood the solidarity of the crucified one, but I could not say a single word. Mia needed my solidarity, not my word. For several years, I've been living with her question. 2 years later, I visited her again, and I could see her faith grow through total surrender to the cross. She could gain back the real joy of salvation promised by the Lord. Mia, a poor woman from the little village in East Timor, understood transformation could only happen when she gave all her suffering to the crucified Christ. She gave permission to Christ to reign over her pain. She understood the meaning of Calvary in her life. She was transformed by a simple decision. She did not despair like Judas, who took his life, and she did not experience a false joy like the scribes and the Pharisees. She experienced a real joy that only comes from the love of the cross. Lord Jesus, you promised cross, but also you promised resurrection. Please help us to experience the new life that you won for us through your cross and resurrection. Amen.